Did you turn it off again and on again? Don't. Another one bites the dust, ChatGPT edition. And I know what you did last summer. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch. This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023, a conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. Visit mspgeekcon.com for more information. Good morning and welcome to the May 12th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Excellent, excellent, excellent. We're what are we doing? We're cleaning up a week. We've got an awesome weekend. Mother's Day is here, just so everyone knows.
So I had my son's birthday on Wednesday. Today is my wife's birthday. Then Sunday is Mother's Day. My credit card's on fire.
Yeah. you should hold it up. It's just like a limp piece of plastic just melting.
You know, it's bad when Marquee Street Caviar and Pearl Street Caviar both have me on speed dial. Like, yeah, it's some stuff. Speaking of food and ordering, we have a new forerunner in the first fast food chain to introduce AI. Wendy's is going to add AI to their order taking system, according to the Wall Street Journals. Your customers are going to place their orders via voice or text, and the chatbot is going to handle the order taking. How do you feel about that? Having OpenAI ask if you want some fries with that?
Wow. Well, let's just be blunt about this. In every single job you've ever been in regarding sales, even a little bit outside of sales, customer service, they're always saying, ask them if they want to add fries for that. And now, you know what? They're finally done. We've automated that with a bot that's going to do that. I have interesting questions. So for example, if the AI is there, is that going to A, hurt employment? Or is that going to do exactly what we've been told this entire time, accelerate, amplify, increase the revenue, which could in turn cause additional employment opportunities? I'm really interested to see where that ends up.
You know, I'm that guy. I hate going to the drive-thru and the first time you got to wait to see, you got to play that game if they're paying attention or not, right? Because like you'll hear and you're like, hello, hello. And they're, yeah, can I take your order? And then you give it the first time, and they were so freaking preoccupied, they didn't hear you say it the first time. So you got to repeat it a second time. Inevitably, they get something wrong when you're buying for a family of four, right? And so I'm the guy that I use the mobile app while I'm in the drive-thru, order on the app, and I just give the code at the drive-thru because I don't want them to screw up the order, and it's easier. Oh, plus, I get my points or whatever else. So I don't hate the idea of somebody getting my order right to begin with.
Removing the human element? Is that what you're referring to?
I'm okay with that. Leave the human element for the distribution of food, for taking extra, you know, any of the extra items. Leave them for the meaningful contact things. And I get you're going to lose out on a subset of the people entering the American workforce, or which is usually younger people, right? Teenagers, early 20s, whatever. And this is their education on customer service. This is their education on, you know, efficiency and processes. And I get all that. So they're going to lose out on the order taking on the window. But how many fast food restaurants have the kiosk already where you can just order from the kiosk instead of standing in line? I'm all for it. And text the MSPs, let us know if you're good with troubleshooting this stuff, because OpenAI ordered started a thermonuclear war game instead of giving you that hot dog.
I didn't want a frappuccino. I just wanted fries. Oh,
man. Would you like to play a game? Yeah. So let us know if you want to do that. For now, that news thing?
Yes.
Do you want some fries with that?
Would you like some news with that? And in the first order of news with your order of the MSP Dispatch, we're jumping straight in from theregister.com. Don't turn it on and off again. Expired Cisco certificate cripples Edge and SD-WAN kits. A recently expired digital certificate from Cisco's SD-WAN platform left customers without access to their networks, causing disruptions. The certificate, which expired on May 10th, 2023, caused several SD-WAN vManage servers to become unreachable. The issue affected both on-premise and cloud-based deployments. Cisco promptly acknowledged the problem and released a guide to assist users in generating a new certificate and recovering access to their networks. The company is also working on a permanent fix to prevent similar issues in the future. The issue highlights the importance of an effective certificate management system to avoid service disruptions. While certificate expirations are a problem to avoid, it can have a serious consequence for business, as demonstrated by the Cisco SD-WAN outage. Ray, I feel like we're talking about dehydrated water. I feel like this is just looking for content that is just, well, are you serious? Yes, of course. But I know you like the dehydrated water, and everyone's going to talk about dehydrated water from this point forward. What are your thoughts? Water.
I love dehydrated water. I love dry air. I love, you know.
You're in Florida. You're in Florida. You can't say that.
Yeah. That's right, because no, we don't get dry air. So I'm going to say, yeah, I love it. I love the idea of it. Like Santa Claus and unicorns. I love the idea. I just don't see them every day. So this story has me confounded, sir. I would like to hear your thoughts on it.
Okay, so the summary is very simple. The summary is Cisco has a variety of products out there with an associated certificate, an SSL cert. That cert expired and consequently killed access to these devices, whatever it is, virtual, et cetera. We're talking about a very simple, hey, we misplaced a password, or hey, we forgot a password, or hey, there's a back door that we completely forgot about, somehow people got in. This is just the management of the assets that are part of something that you make. So the certificate, this SSL cert, expired, and now they're saying, hey, mea culpa, we're coming up with management tools to manage these certificates. I would like to think that everyone has a digital certificate in some capacity, and you have organization for said certificates. You have all over the place. That is my, that hence the dehydrated water. I feel like this is just almost vapid conversations, but ironically, it is so critical. And tell me your thoughts.
No, I agree. I mean, certificates shouldn't even be a question. Security shouldn't even be a question.
But ironically, you phrase it as a question. I like that. Yeah. It shouldn't even be a question. No, but
like, it's one of those common sense things. Like, nobody thinks, do I have a lock for my front door? Whether you lock your front door or not's irrelevant. But nobody thinks, do I need to put a lock on my front door?
You I like that.
Just the and I get, for many people, it's an aesthetic choice, but it still adds some functionality, right? Let's be honest. If you have a self-signed cert or you have a published cert, if you know the genesis of that cert, it is absolutely fine. There's nothing inherently insecure about a self-signed cert. The problem is it's not third-party validated, which is why you get from, you know, the certificate authorities and stuff when you're going to do public websites. But if I'm doing something for you and me and I use a self-signed cert, which, let's be honest, nobody would because Let's Encrypt. But if I use a self-signed cert, you wouldn't worry about the security. Now, if I put an official cert, I don't know the word for commercial cert or whatever it is. If I put a third party verified cert on there, it just adds a little bit of, it's green instead of red, right? Chrome's not complaining about it. And I know that's a long, long way around, you know, getting that you can have aesthetics and security, but security can't be an option, right? I guess is the best way to put it. To all the whiny people out there, I can't do Duo, I can't do MFA, I can't do, you know, I can't use unique passwords, I can't use a password manager, I can't. My answer is the same.
So, okay. here's
why don't you give me an excuse to not use certs? Can you give me a valid excuse not to use like basic security?
Air gap. like no cert, no connection, nothing.
Because you can, there's conventions for Let's Encrypt for you to use your own certificates. You have to obviously download the public and private certs on a third party PC, but you can absolutely still install that on an air gap computer.
Agreed.
It's more difficult, but if you've aired out the device, there's no reason for it.
No, rip out the NIC. There's no Wi-Fi. There's no. So what, sir? Why? What's the sir going to connect to? You know what? You know what would be really cool though. Let's talk about if. Because this is clearly just misinformation or information misplaced. If there was a place that you could share all this information, best practices, code, solutions of problems, if there was a singular location where we could all get together and do this, we would continue to keep using it and using it and using it. Right, right?
Forever, forever and ever and ever. Forever and ever and ever, except if you're Stack Overflow. Sadly, Stack Overflow is the first ChatGPT casualty. Traffic down 14% in March, according to David Carr on SimilarWeb. According to recent data, Stack Overflow's traffic has been steadily decreasing since the start of 2022, with a 14% drop in March 2023. One possible explanation for the decline is the increasing popularity of AI chatbots and GitHub's Copilot as sources for coding advice rather than relying on Stack Overflow's message boards. Copilot, built on the same OpenAI language model as ChatGPT, allows developers to have it write entire functions on their behalf, reducing the need to search for answers on Stack Overflow. ChatGPT has quickly become a popular coding tool, generating detailed code samples and functions in response to simple text prompts. While Stack Overflow emphasizes community-based answers, ChatGPT users often get an answer without the debate and discussion. Copilot's popularity has grown significantly, with signups for the service tripling between February and March of 2023. Although it remains to be seen how much of GitHub's growth is related to OpenAI technologies, the buzz surrounding them is likely contributing to their popularity. So we've talked about OpenAI, ChatGPT, we've talked about and we talked about ConnectWise is adding it to their RMM, right, to automate, and how it's not a tool to just let it go, to just do its thing and go. It needs oversight. It needs some kind of person reviewing and giving that final check off, right? Because as we've seen, I stopped using ChatGPT to create our scripts because it gets the author. Now it's 100% of the time it gets the author wrong. So it's almost like now it's just a fun, like, you know, how do they find this information? And with Stack Overflow, you have that peer review, right? You have others jumping to, you know, hey, you're an idiot, or hey, you need to do this. And I think there's value there. What are your thoughts on this when you see like Stack Overflow getting decreased usage?
I'm simultaneously saying, well, what'd you expect? You have a singular source of information, which ironically, we just got done talking about at the beginning of this, about how AI replacing people could eliminate some jobs but create other jobs. This is eliminating not jobs, but information sources. Now, if for some reason you ever question how much information is too much, you apparently have never had too much information. I would love to really highlight the fact that in Stack Overflow, you have a number of, I have got Ray GPT and John GPT and Cindy GPT, all giving me different angles of different builds and processes and perspectives based on their experience. ChatGPT is a singular output.
Right.
Do you understand how it got to that point and what the alternatives are? Do you keep hitting regenerate response, regenerate response, regenerate response? Do you hit your max unless you're a plus member? There's a variety of things you can do in there, but I love Stack Overflow because you can actually watch the physical breakdown, which begs the question, is the answer that you're getting out of the box ready? And I don't believe it is, as we have illustrated time and time again about it literally hallucinating. You just referred to the fact that it gets the author wrong almost every single time. Our story that we had in last week's, and I believe in the week before that, it pulled up an entirely new story. It was making up information.
Like most of the time, it has the story mostly accurate, and yes, then some of the details off. The one you pointed out to us last week, it was like the whole story was like completely gone.
So just for everyone, that Ray was looking in the source code for the metadata. Maybe it's pulling up metadata. There was no metadata. It was completely made up. It had nothing to do with the article, the link, the headlines. It was,
you know,
fascinating.
Now that I think about it more, because we keep going to the same wells for these stories, right? I mean, we have our 150 or 100 whatever sources that we get stories from most often. Thanks again, Sergio Gatlan. But I wonder if specific websites are looking for requests from ChatGPT and on purpose giving false information. That's easily done from a technical perspective. Right? That's, I mean, and if we're talking about, there's stuff right now where certain people are fighting against ChatGPT and OpenAI in general to say, don't use me to train on, right? This is big in the art world right now. Don't use my art to learn. And there's been lawsuits on this already that have lost. ChatGPT still, you know, because anything that's public, you can't say I can't learn from it being in public. And there's no laws against getting inspiration from other stuff. But I wonder if these news outlets are specifically saying, this is my work. I don't want it ingested without attribution, right? The same lawsuits that were happening in the EU against Google, that Google was aggregating news sources and giving out information, but they weren't attributing the original sources. So they were losing out on revenue or whatever else. I wonder if that's the case here.
There's a lot. Now you got my brain spinning about what are the possible outcomes of fighting back in a way that's saying, oh, you're going to take all of our news and we're the source. Fine. Here's some news for you. Oh, you got it wrong. Interesting. People don't depend on you as much. Maybe they'll refer back to you. Ironically, the people that wrote it. This is
guerrilla warfare.
Oh, this is dark, Ray. You just took this is dark GPT. Like, ooh.
Yeah. So I would love to hear what other conspiracy stories the Discord comes up with. Let us know in the comments. Let us know in chat. I'm sure you've come up with your own conspiracy theories. And we're going to go down that rabbit hole. We're going to do a little more research to figure out what the hell is going on. But Tony, it's okay, because when I make a mistake, you would never hold it against me and try to extort me for money, right?
I would not. And for everyone to look at our B-roll footage of that transition right there. Let's jump into my next story. And in my next story from darkreading.com, an employee at a cybersecurity firm, Dragos, fell victim to a cyber attack, exposing ransomware extortion. The attacker claimed to have accessed the employee's computer, extracted sensitive information, and threatened to leak it unless a ransom in Bitcoin was paid. Despite specializing in cybersecurity, particularly for industrial control systems and critical infrastructure, this incident highlights that no individual or company is immune from cyber threats. Dragos confirmed the attack, but assured that the breach was limited to the employee's personal accounts, with no company data being compromised. The firm is collaborating with local law enforcement agencies to investigate the incident and prevent further attacks. This event underlines the importance of constant vigilance, strengthening cybersecurity measures, and providing ongoing employee training. Dragos remains committed to protecting its clients and enhancing security infrastructure, emphasizing the need for preparedness against potential cyber threats. Ray, if we're talking about this, there's a lot of things that are bad. We're talking about ransomware. We're talking about cybersecurity attacks. We're talking about forgetting your SSL certificate expiration date. Quick note, did you know that in Florida, it is illegal to walk an alligator on a leash? That's another thing that's bad. There's a lot of things that are happening out here. I don't know which direction is up.
So
cybersecurity company, one of their employees just got a ransomware. I how do I put this in any other context? Handing it to you, I'm going a little crazier.
Listen, I don't care about the ransomware anymore. We got to go back to the alligator thing. If I have to walk my dog on a leash, but I can't walk my alligator on a leash, you know how dangerous that is? Damn it, Florida. I guess we get into this whole security guy gets ransomware. Sorry, Phil, this is for you. It happens to everybody. The problem is not what happens. The problem is transparency. I fucked up. This happened. You guys need to know about it, right? You gotta be public. You gotta own it. You gotta do as quickly as possible within the guidelines of your, you know, IR firm or insurance policy, your insurers, whatever they're telling you to do. But sitting there and saying it happened, I don't hold that against anybody at all. I actually respect the hell out of it. It's not something that happens enough, in my opinion. I like these stories for the fact that you have security knowledgeable people, security aware people, that still get compromised. You have big companies that do training, presumably, that have a bunch of controls in place, presumably. At the end of the day, the human person is the weakest link. Let's be honest.
100%.
And we all have those moments. There's times we just had this call today on our staff meeting where we use Finn, obviously, for security awareness training. And we sent a meeting invite out to a new meeting that's going to be company-wide every quarter. And some of my staff were like, I'm not clicking anything until I hear verbal confirmation that it was really sent by somebody. And I can't get mad at that. It's recognizing that we are going to screw up at some point and giving the least amount of opportunities for it to happen. Sometimes it gets annoying when I'm taking over somebody else's iPad and I can't reset it. That's annoying. But,
yeah. You
know, transparency is more important than if you got breached or not. Nobody likes to get breached. Let's be honest. That's the truth. But if you can come out and say, mea culpa, this happened, this is how we're addressing it, this is the truth, not no protected information was stolen, but they did get your usernames, passwords, credit card numbers, addresses, and phone numbers, and here's a year of LifeLock. When they can come out and say, like, the truth, this is what actually happened, I appreciate that, which is why I love Cloudflare so much. You know, when something goes wrong, they give deep dive reports, and they're awesome. I don't know. What's your take, Tony? What's your two cents on this?
I'm wondering how that's going to tarnish the reputation. Anything can happen. It just goes to show that if a security company employee, a cybersecurity company employee can get breached, anything is possible. Yeah. I get a lot of private messages. I throw out one of those little factoids, can't walk your alligator on a leash. But another great fact, here's something for everyone to chew on. If you're going to walk away with something, walk away with this fact. In 1939, there was a novel called Gadsby, Gadsby. It's 50,000, that's 50, 50,000 words. The entire thing does not contain a single letter E. The entire book, 50,000 words, does not contain a single letter E. So when I tell you that, I would love to know how many MSPs, how many people are listening to that, going online to actually research it and say, wow, and it's actually not a bad book. The point is, anything is possible. Cybersecurity is going to affect all of us. So with that, we should probably jump into some cool notables.
Let's do it. In my first notable mention, Kingston's SSD firmware has Coldplay lyrics hidden within it, written by Ax Sharma on Bleeping Computer. Kingston, a well-known brand for flash memory products, has surprised a security researcher with a hidden Easter egg in its SSD controller firmware. Iowa-based researcher Nicholas Stark found lyrics from Coldplay's hit song, The Scientist, buried deep within the firmware. The specific version of the firmware, which starts SKC2000, we'll put the exact firmware in the show notes, runs on Kingston's PCI Express solid-state drive products, which deliver improvements to data storage hardware's performance and security. The lyrics raise questions about their purpose, whether it's just a mere prank or serves a functional purpose, such as a sample data for testing. Kingston is yet to comment on the matter. In my second notable mention, ConnectWise announces a company selected for the Pitch It class of 2023. ConnectWise has announced the 27 companies selected for Pitch It 2023, which is a competition that allows innovators to showcase a potential offering that could be built or integrated into the ConnectWise platform. Throughout the competition, thought leaders within the MSP space will act as coaches to guide participants and provide insights on their products. The judges will assess each solution based on innovation, value proposition, go-to-market strategy, contribution to the industry, and the likelihood of success. We did a special report on the Pitch It class of 2023, which we will link somewhere, and go check it out.
And my first notable mention from CRN.com, which is our leading technology news source, they have unveiled their Women of the Channel list for 2023. This annual list recognizes influential female leaders in the IT channel, acknowledging their professional achievements and dedication to the technology industry. The Women of the Channel list highlights exceptional women across various roles, including vendor executives, solution providers, and distributors, who are transforming the IT channel through their innovation, strategic vision, and commitment to partner success. The honorees in this year's list serve as role models and demonstrate the importance of promoting diversity and inclusion within the technology sector. And my next notable mention from AndroidPolice.com, YouTube is experimenting with blocking certain videos for users who utilize ad blockers. Some users have reported seeing error messages when attempting to view specific videos with an ad blocker enabled, essentially preventing them from watching the content. This move by YouTube can attempt to discourage the use of ad blockers and promote ad revenue for both the platform and its creators. It remains unclear if the experiment will become a permanent feature on the platform or if it will be limited to certain types of content. The moderator of the YouTube subreddit received a message from the YouTube team confirming this pop-up was part of an experiment the company is currently running. It appears to be a very limited experiment, as we've only found the one user report, but it could be a sign of things to come.
Hey everyone, happy Friday. I'm Phil Buck here for your AI Roundup. It's been stated many times on this show and in plenty of other outlets that ChatGPT has the capability to be the Google search killer. And that threat to Google has inevitably led to the heating of the AI tech arms race. Now, as has been rumored for some time, Google has finally announced their push to integrate generative AI with their search engine. In a post from Google's own blog, Google announced Search Labs, and you can sign up for a waitlist to gain access to the new Google search tools which integrate generative AI. Some of the features for this include Search Generative Experience, which brings the power of generative AI directly into Google search. Instead of having to break down complex queries into simpler ones, the technology will do the hard work for you, providing a snapshot of key information linked to deeper resources. A feature to watch is its conversational mode, allowing users to ask follow-up questions and keep context throughout their search. Also, code tips. It harnesses the power of large language models to provide pointers for writing code faster and smarter. And you can add this feature to Google Sheets, which helps you insert search results directly into a spreadsheet and share with friends. The shopping experience will also be revolutionized. Thanks to integration with Google Shopping Graph, users will have access to real-time product reviews, ratings, prices, and images from over 35 billion product listings. This sounds like a significant leap forward for search engine technology. I signed up for the wait list so that I can check it out. If you gain access to it, let us know what you think in the MMN Discord. There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. On May 14th through the 18th, an in-person event, ServiceNow Annual Conference in Las Vegas, Nevada. On May 16th through the 18th, another in-person event, 7-Figure MSP Live in Nashville, Tennessee. And also on the 16th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time, Nerdy Birdie, Two Birds of a Feather come together to streamline your workflows, presented by Gradient MSP. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have, in case you missed it, AI Roundup Episode 10, FUDBusters Debunking the AI Boogeyman. And also, the Tech Bar Podcast Episode 58, Tech Bar Takeover with Matthew Fox and Phil Buck. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network.
Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'm a jobaholic. We all have something in common. We all have a worst job story. Each episode, I'll welcome one guest to share their most insane worst job story. And in return, I'll share one of mine. Join me the first Friday of every month for new episodes of 38 at 38.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail. 833 MSP Network. I'll get two main stories and one notable with that, please. Sorry, I was talking to my Wendy's AI ordering the news for the day.
Would you like fries with that, sir? What a horrible.
If I go to a Wendy's and they offer to play a game, I'm walking out.
Was it? What's the bleep or what's a fleep or what's the term when you fling the thing out into space?
Oh, the Oh man. Yeah, the yeet, yeet.
Yeet, yeet. Yeet.
It has been so long since our NASA yeeting. I forgot about that. Oh, that was good.
That was a good story. Good show.
I'm ready to yeet myself into the weekend. How about you?
Oh, let's yeet this place. Now, yeah. Everyone, have an awesome weekend. A great Mother's Day.
Have an awesome Mother's Day. Go take care of your mothers. If you are a mother, we appreciate you. If you're one bad mother, I'm going to shut my mouth. But with that, take care of yourselves and each other, ladies and gentlemen.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
But for now, let's do some notables, man.
I have another story. If I could do the story,
that'd be okay. Nice. Yeah, let's pretend that I am.
That's a good B-reel moment right there.
Is Ray GPT having a general protection fault? Do we need to reboot him?
Exactly what it is.
Get someone a paperclip. We got to find a little hole in his neck and reset him real quick.
But it was my little pouty face, and then Ray's like, "Oh, okay, let's."
But wait, I have the perfect segue now. Hold on.
And my first notable mention from CRN.com, CRM, our leading technology news source, has unveiled excuse me, some dolphins for you. Ready? One more time.